Welcome to Father's House in Grantsville, Maryland. The message you're about to hear will greatly encourage your growth in the Lord. Join us as we together open the living Word.
I'm going to touch for just a few moments this morning on part one of the sermon series, The Possibilities of Faith. Thank you, brother. The Possibilities of Faith sermon series is two parts. This morning, number one, I want to speak to you as I've been spending time with the Lord in prayer and asking God what to teach and or to say to you. And the Lord spoke a peculiar thing to my heart about 6 days ago. He said, when we act in faith, we will receive the improbable. When we act in faith, we shall receive the improbable. Can you say amen with me this morning? Now, this isn't a shouting kind of message on the day of Pentecost. Amen. Every day ought to be a day of Pentecost. Can you say amen with me? But it is a message this morning that is a message that I'll teach with the help and grace of God to bring us into a place where the improbabilities will become the possibilities. Can you say amen? The word improbable defined in the Scripture is something that's not likely to be true or to happen as seen with the natural man's eye. Can you say amen? The first scripture that I want to mention this morning, you'll see it on the board, is Mark 9:23. And we're going to read that together. Can you say hallelujah? Praise God. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And when I looked up the word, the Greek word for possible in the scriptures, the word dunatos came up. Dunatos. And it means all things are capable of happening. Can you say amen? You see, in John chapter 1, and the Bible says there, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was light, and the light was the light of men. So nothing is possible without that light being on the inside of us. But notice he said, all things are possible to those that what? Believes. So when we look at the word dunatos, it means that when we put our faith into action, the improbabilities that we think that we cannot have will become possible and capable of manifesting. Can you say amen? So I read it this way. I put this down. All things are capable of happening if we put our faith in trust with the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 16:23, he said, there's going to come a time when you will ask me nothing, but whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, it will be given unto you. In other words, there also it talks about that if it's not there, John chapter 1 also talks about this, if it's not there, I will make it for you. And right in front of you, I will make it manifest when you release your faith and put it into action. Now, the key to pressing forward, I put this down on my prophetic page on Facebook the other day. I heard the Spirit of God say this to me 4 days ago, and I marked it down. The key to pressing forward to the possibilities of faith and becoming an incredible person of destiny is changing your thinking about what went wrong or what went on in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve after the fall, and then to reposition or position yourself to what has been set as being right by the last Adam, Christ Jesus. Can you say amen? You see, it's not who's right, it's what's right. We are on not a search for denominational truth, but we are on a search for real truth. Now, a lot of A-truths will make up the truth. In other words, in the Scriptures in the Old Testament, we can talk about the 11th chapter of the book of Isaiah, that Jesus was the root and the offspring of Jesse. And then we could leave it at there and say, well, what in the world does that mean? Then we can go into Matthew's Gospel, Chapter 1, I believe it's verse number 17. I used to quote the scriptures all the time. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. Now watch this. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. That's truth. I preached a message several years ago when I first began in the evangelistic ministry. If it wasn't for the begats, we wouldn't be here. Can you say amen? You see, we are all begotten of something and someone. And when we get born again, praise God, we're begotten of the Father. Can you say amen? Begotten of the Holy Ghost. So I put this down. In spite of what man lost when Adam fell to temptation, Jesus has set the record straight and even better than it was at first. Can you say amen? Although man may have fallen in the garden, you see, the Bible, a lot of people says, well, Eve sinned. But the Bible says Adam sinned, but Eve was deceived. And if Adam would have, I believe, taught his wife right, who was the weaker vessel, she may not have sinned and we may not be in the mess that we're in. That would have been a possibility of faith back in those days and probably a probability. You see, not only does improbabilities become possibilities, but the possibilities of faith can become probabilities if we can believe. Mark 9:23. Now, when you have your devotion sometime this week, in conjunction with what's being said this morning, read Romans, the 5th chapter, in verses 12 through 21, and you'll find out the story of Adam and Eve there. Could you say amen? So Jesus has restored all things, I put this down in my notes, and given God's designs for man a second chance with an improved quality to it. Not only do we have a greater quality to Jesus Christ not being the second Adam, if there was a second Adam, there might be a third and a fourth. Could you say amen? And they might have a say-so somewhere. But in the completed canon of scriptures, Jesus Christ was the last Adam. Adam was the first Adam with his wife Eve, and they were told to do some things from Genesis chapter 1 through chapter 2 at the end of there. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ became the last Adam to come and restore us, spirit, soul, and body, to our rightful position before the fall in the Garden of Eden. That has taken place, and we can have salvation, we can have healing for our bodies, and we can have deliverance for our soulish realm. Could you say amen with me today? So through Jesus Christ and in Him, man, this is in my notes, can now become that supernatural creature that God intended him to be. In other words, if you want to put it in technical terms, Jesus Christ was the prototype of the Father. And we are the prototype of Jesus Christ. In other words, we become the new creation and everything He designs and has desired for us when we become doers of the Word. So let the Bible speak for you. So many people today, and I've talked about this, and I'm not pointing fingers at specific churches, denominations, etc. But there's so much foolishness that I'm seeing in the realms of the prophetic. To where Dr. John Polis and I, not long ago, we stood and we talked together along with Pastor Ernie Rowan, and we talked about this, how that people are prophesying things. And I see it on Facebook all the time. There's never a mention of Scripture, but it's about the most silliest prophecy that I've ever heard in my life, and it has no value and holds no water. Every prophecy that we give in the body of Christ these days, because of the completed canon of Scripture, we must refer that prophecy and bring it underneath of the covering of the completed canon of Scriptures, because that's what has been given by inspiration of God. That's why I believe I've just totally just shut myself down from even saying, God, give me the opportunities to travel the nations in the world. Because I believe that what we need right here in the mountains, God has said, settle down, be still, be quiet, stay in your prayer closet, and wait, because there is a revival that's going to break forth here in the mountains of Western Maryland. And I want to be a part of it and jump in head first. Come on, somebody. Let's praise the Lord together. So 2 Corinthians 5:17, as we see that and read it together, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and verse number 17. Talk about the prototype that God wants us to become. 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 17. Therefore, when we see the word therefore, let's say it together. What is it therefore? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, I love that term, in Christ. You're in Christ if you're born again this morning. Amen? If we're in Christ, he is or she is a what? New creature. Watch this. Old things are passed away. I made mention of this before. We might as well go ahead and call up the floral shop today and order some flowers, praise God, because the old things are passed away. We're going to have a funeral service. Can you say amen? Praise God. But when they creep up, we need some deliverance when they creep up. Every now and then they'll creep up, and man, I'll entertain that thought. And next thing I know, I'm entertaining it in my soulless realm, and I get mad about it. Praise God. And then I'm going to have to say, well, it's going to cost me more money to get some flowers delivered today. Amen, because I'm going to have my own funeral service. Praise God. If you never thought you were going to have your own funeral service, you should take inventory today. So all things are passed away. Now watch this. Behold, in the Greek, it literally means in simple childlike terms, get out your magnifying glass and take a closer look. And all things are become new. So not only do you have a funeral service, but as soon as the funeral service is over, we're going to head to the banquet. Amen? And we're going to celebrate because all things are become new. Can you say amen? And I put down here in my notes, God just speaks to me. Man, I'll just write this stuff down and speak to me. I said, in essence, everyone born of woman has the blessed opportunity to be a godlike kind of being in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. All right, in 1 John 4:15, I'm trying to get this in a hurry. 1 John 4:15 declares, and it'll be on the board here, which it is, whosoever shall what? Confess that Jesus is the God dwelleth in him, and he in God. So I started to do a little research. I love the Greek and Hebrew. I did a little bit of research in the Greek, and the Greek word for dwelleth in this verse is M-E-N-O, pronounced meno. Meno, and it means this. In a given place, which is man's spirit, this is my interpretation, to have relationship with. In other words, because God dwells in man's spirit and man dwells in God's spirit, there is a mutual relationship that is going on. Can you say amen? There is a one-on-one relationship that is going on. So that's why the scripture says, but the anointing which you have received of him abides within you. Now watch this. And you need not that any man teaches you. You don't have to come to me for teaching or the pastor for teaching or anyone else for teaching, bless God. And it's good to sit underneath of the umbrella of the covering where God has placed us to receive what he wants us to have. Could you say amen? But yet the greater teacher is living on the inside of us. Praise God. He's the one that's got the doctor's degree. Can you say amen? Dr. Holy Ghost. Amen. Dr. Holy Ghost. He's living on the inside of us. If you want to learn about the word exegesis, you're going to have to look at it in the natural terms. And it just simply means the unveiling, or the apokalypso in the Greek. The unveiling, or taking away the veil, so we can literally see how God is going to unfold his prophetic plan in the last days. But if you want to know really what needs to take place in the last days and where we're at in the prophetic timetable of God, ask the greater one that's living on the inside of you. Or as I was watching the ER series just recently from the 90s, ask the big kahuna. Ask God Almighty. He's the one that's living on the inside of you. And back during the charismatic move and the word of faith move, we used to say, he's big enough to create the whole world and small enough to live in our hearts. Can you say amen? Big enough to create the whole world, but small enough to live in our hearts. He's a big God. And a slogan I used to use years ago when I was praying for revival, big faith and a big God gets big results. Let's release our faith today. Now, quickly, in Acts chapter 3 and verses 1 through 11, we're going to read this quickly. It'll be on the board. I may read it quickly, more quicker than it's on the board. Amen. Before we could get to the next one. Let's read it together. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Now, watch verse 2. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid when? Daily at the gate of the what? Temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Three words They knew the kind of power they had, didn't they? And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Immediately. Praise God forevermore. And he did something. He leaping up. Now, he couldn't do that before because his ankle bones were weak. Praise God. But now they're strong, and now he leaps up and stood and walked and entered with them into the temple doing these three things. Walking and leaping, like y'all were leaping this morning. I love that. And praising God. God will give you something worth walking, leaping, and praising God, all right, won't he? Praise God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Amen. And they knew that it was he which set for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with some things. With wonder? Filled with wonder. Amen. I got filled with that a couple of days ago. My wife brought home the wrong loaf of bread. Amen. And they got filled with wonder and amazement. Now, that was a Hershey bar. Amazement was not. With amazement at that which had happened unto him. Now, watch verse number 11. Here's our anchor verse. And conjunction, junction, what's your function? And as the lame man which was healed held. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John. Now, it was the other way around before. They couldn't even hold him because he's laying on the ground. Now he's holding them. It didn't say he's holding on to him. It says he was holding them, just like we was watching Brother Hagin the other day. They told a story about how Brother Hagin grabbed a hold of someone one time, and he was supposed to be this weak, poor little person who had tuberculosis and was about to die. But he grabbed someone one time and just lifted him up and held him there and told a story for about 3 or 4 minutes while he was holding him up there. Can you say amen? I get a vision of this. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John. It's like, I love you, buddy. I love you, man. All the people ran together. Amen. The first 5K race. Praise God. All the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's. Now, watch those last two words. Doing what? Greatly. What? Again, what's it say? What? This is what I put down. You want childlike terms? I just write these things down. This guy had received the improbable. Praise God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Someone probably slipped him a Gatorade. Amen. This guy had received the improbable. After several years of receiving the predictable, pennies that were other people's pocket change, he received something that no one had known he was ever able to receive. Why? Because he got tired of cheese and crackers in Pentecost. He said, man, I see a vision of a big steak. Amen. Praise God. Back in those days, it might have been a camel. But he saw something other than cheese and crackers. He saw something other than pennies from heaven. Praise God. It was something more than pennies. It was something that was about to change the predictable of his life to the probable. God can take away the predictable out of your life when people look at you and say to you, oh, I know what's about to happen in their life. Nothing's about to happen, but something happened when he saw Peter and John. The predictable became the probable. Huh? Come on, somebody. It was the Holy Ghost power of Pentecost. Praise God. He received something that no one ever knew that he was able to receive. Life's interesting, isn't it? And it's quite amusing when people of society or culture presume what you can and cannot receive. They look at you and say, well, I've had people before say, is that all you know? I had somebody sent me a private message last year on Facebook. Brother, I knew you years ago. Is that all you know? I said, well, no, that's not all I know, but that's all you know because that's why you're calling me, because you're wanting more. But just because I don't put it on Facebook doesn't mean I don't know it. It's the same thing with you. We don't put everything out there before casting pearl before swine so the whole world can trample down the things of God under the feet of men. Amen. We share what God tells us to share. I remember years ago, the Lord said, you're going to hold on to a prophecy for 4 years. I'm like, dear God, I'm going to need a lot of that Wonder Bread to keep me going. Amen. Praise God. Because if I don't, you know, I'm going to starve to death because I need to deliver this, Lord. And he says, it's not time yet. But I'll tell you when it's time. So when I release the prophecy. This was several years ago. I'm talking about in the late 1980s and early 1990s. And when I released it, the prophecy, the prophetic word, on a Sunday night, not even knowing what was about to happen, a young girl's life changed just like that. She couldn't hear. I just spoke the prophecy. And when I spoke the prophecy, she got out in the aisle. She was a visitor. And this 800-member church, Pastor Bill Preston and I were co-pastoring. There wasn't that many in the church, believe you me. But they had split. We took over the church, and she's clearing the back of the church. So I'm looking at her going, you know, should I get the binoculars to see what she looks like? Or, you know, but I just went like this and motioned for her to come up, and she couldn't come up. She was stunned by the Holy Ghost. And I gave the prophetic word, and her life was changed just like that. Both of her ears opened up, and the first thing she screamed was, can you please turn that background music down? She hadn't heard in a long time. Now, she had heard when she was born, but became deaf. And let me just tell you what can happen. That became, the predictable became probable, even when it seemed impossible. When God spoke, not me, but when I spoke at the appointed time, having that sensitivity to listen for the predictable time that God said to speak it, something happened. Sometimes you're sitting there chomping at the bits. I've got to deliver this. I've got to deliver this. I have to deliver this. And you know, you got your family around. The only thing they're worried about is the next loaf of Wonder Bread. You know? Amen. But God said, just be patient and be still, my boy. I'll let you deliver it when I said I'll let you deliver it. Now let's move on. I put this down. It is important that we break out of our expectations of the environment that we're in and appreciate that God is not limited to our environment that we've created. Sometimes we're wondering why God hasn't done what he said he would do because we have created an environment that he is not pleased with because it doesn't release the probabilities of the improbable. What it does, it releases the possibilities of what is improbable that can become probable, but we are not releasing it and saying, by faith, nevertheless, not my will, thy will be done. That creates the right environment for Holy Spirit to move and create an atmosphere for the improbable to take place. I know these things are just reminding us of who we are and what we need to be doing, and they're simple. But God is saying this. He says, what is more in this regard, this is what I put down, is that God is not limited to giving you what everyone else gives you. That's why he wants to change your thinking. Sometimes we have a predictable atmosphere. We have a predictable environment. They're predictable because watch what they do next, and then we watch and it happens. And then nothing changes. Or I can say to myself, I'm predictable. I know what I'm about to do. But what I'm about to do right now may have worked yesterday, but it's not working today. God says, I do all things new every day in your life. The improbables will become the predictables. And if you predict by faith with your mouth, the impossibilities will become possibilities. And that's the possibility of faith. And so I put down in this account with this man, everyone was content on giving him silver and gold. Now, God could have given him the same, and if the truth were told, this is what I put down, it is him who touched men to give to him silver and gold in the first place. And I'm going to close with this. I hear the Holy Spirit saying close with this. However, the fantastic thing about God is that he can go beyond what man can give to you. In this case, God gave him strength in his legs so that he was able to walk for the first time in his life. Friend, get ready to receive the improbable this morning. Get ready to receive the improbable in your life this morning. For what you don't think is possible and is improbable, God is about to change your atmosphere from the predictable to the possible, that when you open up your mouth and speak, God is about to move the mountains of improbability. Come on, someone, let's say amen this morning. Here's the last statement that I'll make, and we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. The force of faith. In the 1980s, we all, Brother Billy Joe Grandstaff and I from Tri-City Word of Faith, we used to preach these messages and call them the force of faith. Or love is a force. Or the gifts of the spirit are a force. Everything was a force. You know, you're not forced to do it, but when it comes upon you, when it comes out of your mouth, it's like a force. Love can change things. Love covers a multitude of sins. That's a force. It does something for change. So I put down, here it is in closing, the force of faith will program you to receive more than anyone thought you could ever receive. I'm going to read that again so it sinks in. The force of faith will program you to receive more than anyone thought you could ever receive. In other words, oh, I'm like the Old Testament preachers that are crying out between the porches and the altar. We used to pray through, man, during the early Pentecostal times when I first got saved in 1980. We'd pray through. We didn't get up until we felt a release. And man, that's what we need to return to. We need to get off of this instant everything and get on our knees and cry out to God until we have an answer on the inside of us, and then we'll understand some of these messages. And I put this down. I do not care what men think. Once you engage the force of faith, this is from years ago. This is a quote from years ago. Once you engage the force of faith in that little blue manual that I have that I write things down in the basement, you got a little bit of mold on it. Once you engage the force of faith, you will gain more than imaginations of those around you. I want to repeat that. Once you see what this force of faith is and you engage it, you will gain more than the imaginations of those around you. In other words, whatever people think that can become imaginations that will become possible in your life, and say, man, I can see it on you, brother. I can see it on you, sister. If you just keep praying, if you keep praising, if you keep speaking, I can just see where you're going to be in the future. Because as Brother Kim Clement used to say, somewhere in the future, you look much better than you look right now. Come on, somebody, let's stand to our feet and give God some praise.
You've been listening to Father's House. For more information or to download today's sermon, visit us at fathershouse.info. And remember, it is written, "My house shall be called the house of prayer."